Well, it's a blessing to be in God's house again this morning. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity and for the help to be able to get up out of bed and to get here in the morning. We take that for granted too often. I know I do. Well, this morning we're going to continue a lesson that we started last week. It's in the book of Habakkuk or Habakkuk. We'll get to heaven and God's going to say, all the K's were silent. You had it all wrong. You start getting into people's names in the Word of God and we butcher them. You know, we think when somebody calls us by the wrong name, we're like, my goodness, they can't get that John right or Mark right. You get to Habakkuk and we might think we have it right, or it might be Habakkuk, or it might be something totally different. I know when I first was saved and started attending church, I was being taught the books of the Bible and learning them. And you come to the New Testament, you have a little book near the end of the New Testament. It's called Philemon. Well, I called it Philemon for I don't know how many years. And they're like, it's not Philemon, it's Philemon. I said, okay.
Down south it was.
We get to heaven, and it wasn't either one. Yes, Lord, okay. So just bear with me this morning. I'll probably say both again today. But we're going to be in the tiny book of Habakkuk or Habakkuk. It's in the Old Testament, Minor Prophets. It might be easiest to find Jonah and just go to the right a couple books. And we're going to begin in the first chapter. And again, we're going to finish a lesson, Lord willing, that we started last week. And I'll give you a little recap of what we talked about last week and go from there. So let's start with the Word of God and some prayer first. Lord God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to study your Word, to open it, preserving it for us. Thank you so much for the opportunity, dear Lord, to study it. I pray, dear Lord, that you would just help us this day to learn a truth from the Word of God, a principle that we can apply to our Christian lives, and that we might be better Christians for being here today. Use me, dear Lord, as a vessel, and speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 1 of the book of Habakkuk, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves and their horsemen shall come from afar. And they shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence and their faces shall sup up as the east wind. And they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. And they shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing that his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting? O Lord my God, mine Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them from judgment, and, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? And makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net, and gather them in the drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat, and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net, and not spare continually to slay the nations. You read this tiny book, and you're like, what in the world is going on? If you just pick it up and try to understand it and read it without really doing any study beforehand, getting the setting of it, you're going to be lost. You're just going to be totally lost. Trying to understand what in the world is going on. What are these fishes and these leopards and these swift horses? And what is going on? Why is this violence going on? And as we talked briefly last week about the setting of the book, this is one of the few books in the Bible that's not written to a people. It's not written to the children of Israel. It's not written to a foreign people. It is actually a recording of God and Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, talking. And Habakkuk has questions for God. Why are you doing these things? And it's recording God's answer to Habakkuk. So that's what sort of is going on in this book. And why is he asking God questions? Well, he is writing by the inspiration of God at the same time the prophet Jeremiah is writing. And Jeremiah is a prophet to the nation of Judah. At this time, we have two kingdoms in Israel. We have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. We had 10 tribes in the north and 2 tribes in the south. We had a bunch of kings in both nations. In the north, none of them were good in God's eyes. And in the south, just a few of them were good in God's eyes. And when they were good in God's eyes, they tried to worship the Lord and they tried to do things that pleased the Lord. When they were not pleasing in God's eyes, they worshiped false deities, they built altars, they destroyed and desecrated the temple of God. Now all these things have been going on for thousands or hundreds of years. So we're in the southern kingdom. And God has pronounced judgment on the sins of Judah. And these sins were because of their forefathers and the kings that led their nation to do evil in God's eyes. And we did have 8 good kings in the southern kingdom, but they were short-lived. And when the last good king came on the scene, his name was King Josiah. He lasted many years on the throne and did great things in God's eyes, where he was establishing the worship of God again and practicing the Passover the way it should have been practiced. Found the book of the law in the temple when it was being cleaned out from all the rubbish that had been there. But his son then takes the throne. And we looked at that last week. We had the middle son take the throne for a short time. And then the Egyptians came in and overthrew them. And now we have the middle son, the eldest son now on the throne. His name is Jehoiakim. And he was a vessel or a vassal to Egypt. And then he became a vassal or a ruler in place of an empire that ran the country. And now we see his labors are not conducive to what his father did, King Josiah. He's now doing evil in the sight of the Lord and bringing back all of the evil worship and the false deities and the altars that his grandfather had brought into the nation, King Manasseh. And so we have false worship in the temple of God. We have false worship all over Jerusalem. We have deities and altars raised up in around Judah. And God says, I'm going to judge you. And that's what we sort of talked about last week, the sins of Judah. And we looked at some of the false worship and the gods that they were worshiping at this time. And in verses in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Habakkuk is basically saying, God, why are you allowing this violence to continue? Why are you allowing these evil doings to run in your country and to rule in your reign and allow this evil ruler to stay on the throne? So that's sort of what we talked about last week, the sins of Judah. So Habakkuk has asked God these questions, and now in verse 5, God's going to answer him. So we come to verse 5 of chapter 1, and you'll notice very quickly, this is not Habakkuk talking. It says, behold ye among the heathen in regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work in your days. Well, I will work a work in your days. This is not Habakkuk talking. This is God speaking back to Habakkuk, to the people of Israel, or to Judah. So we're looking now at verses 5 through 11, and God is talking back to Habakkuk, telling him what he is going to do. And he's pronouncing this judgment on Judah. And to Habakkuk, it's a surprising judgment. He's like, Lord, why are you going to do this? And God's explaining to him the nature of this and what's going to happen. So I'm going to read a few verses to you that sort of correspond with this in the Word of God. The best commentary on the Word of God. You say, I want to study the Word of God. I'm going to get all these commentaries. I'm going to line my shelf with commentaries. The best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God. Amen. You want to understand a portion of Scripture? Dig into the Scripture and find out what it means. Now, their commentaries do have a place, but it's not the best commentary. So the best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God. So let me look at some of these verses. And I have them already printed out so we don't have to flip consistently throughout the Scriptures. But if you want to write them down or flip there, that's fine. Isaiah chapter 39 and verses 6 and 7, God foretold through the prophet Isaiah that he was going to judge Judah by this kingdom, the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. So it says in Isaiah 39 verses 6 and 7, behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, and which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So even before the book of Habakkuk, or before the time of Jeremiah, Isaiah is writing, saying, this is from the Lord, and he says, he's going to judge your nation by the king of Babylon. So it shouldn't have been surprising what God was going to do. And we know that God will not allow sin to continually to reign. He won't let sin continually to reign in our lives. He can't allow sin to reign in a people that he has set apart as his people. So he's definitely not going to allow sin to reign in his nation, the nation of Judah. So he said he's going to judge that sin. And he says how he was going to do that. How about in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that is an evil thing and bitter, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. When we get to a place where we don't even fear God and the judgment that we're going to continue in sin and continue in our wickedness and continue in our backslidings, and we don't fear a judgment from God, we're in a dangerous place. Because he will judge God. He is a holy and a just God. Oh, God of love, he won't judge me. He is a holy and a just God. We cannot enter into his presence with our sin. He is holy and we are not. That's why we had to have the death of Jesus Christ to shed his blood on the cross for us, so that blood can be imputed to us that we might be the righteousness of God. When we stand before God, if we have accepted Christ as our Savior, God looks at us through Jesus. He does not see us as a sinner that's cleansed by blood. He sees us as not even a sinner. We have been justified just as we have never sinned. Only through the blood of Christ. Continue to look at Jeremiah chapter 35 and verse 17. The Word of God says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. God gives us an opportunity to repent. We're not perfect. We sin every day. And he gives us an opportunity to repent from that sin. And he's waiting for us to repent from that sin. He wants us to repent from that sin so that he can forgive us. But if we die in our sins and we go to heaven before God, we're going to be judged for those sins. So God has given these people of Judah a way out from being able to confess those sins. It says that here in Jeremiah 35, 17. Turn with me, though, in Jeremiah 36. I'd like for you to see this. Jeremiah 36, hold your place in Habakkuk, we'll be right back. Jeremiah chapter 36, we're going to look just at the last two verses, but the whole chapter really deals with this portion of Scripture that we're looking at, Habakkuk. We read the first portion of this last week, talking about how Jehoiakim cut up the word of God, and then he burned it, showing the sins of Judah this day, why God was going to judge them. They had no regard for the word of God. They had no regard for the word, for the man of God. They had no regard for the temple of God. That was the sins of Judah, and God's going to judge them. But we come to Jeremiah chapter 36 in the last two verses. Verse 30. Chapter 36, verse 30. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. If you see really in these two verses, God is judging the sin of each individual person. The king of Judah, yes, he was sinning against God and doing evil in God's sight, but he did not cause all the other people to sin. He didn't force them to go and worship these false idols. They decided to do that on their own. So it's an individual responsibility for judgment upon their sins, and they must confess those sins themselves and turn from God. And God gives them an outlet, but it says there at the end of verse 31, they hearken not. Where we're going with this is our country is in the same boat Judah is in. There is a coming judgment for our country. There is a people in this country that God has set apart. He is, I believe, a Christian nation was founded on Christian principles. And my, have we turned from that? Well, we're even starting to get ready to vote on what a marriage is. Come on. We have thrown God out of school. Can't allow prayer in school. There are even schools now you can't even say the Pledge of Allegiance in. If you do say the Pledge of Allegiance, you have to take God out. There is coming a day God is going to judge this nation. We are no different from Judah. Do we have false gods and false deities and altars in our country? All over the place. If you have not seen them, you're blind. They're there. You can go down 95 and see a mosque. God's going to judge our country, and it's foretold in the Scriptures. You get to the book of Revelation, is the United States mentioned? No. Where's coming a day God is going to judge our country for our sins individually? Look back with me in Habakkuk, in chapter 1. Habakkuk has this question, why, God, why are you allowing this violence to continue in verses 1 through 5? And God answers his in chapter 1 and verse 5 through verse 11. He is saying to Habakkuk, this is what's going to happen. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And we have seen, it has been told over and over through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, the destruction is coming. And how it's going to be destroyed is by the Babylonians or by the Chaldeans, the same group of people. Even in the book previous to Habakkuk, you have the small book of Nahum, and it is showing God is going to judge. The book of Nahum is actually the destruction of Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which was the country God used to judge Israel prior to this and take the people into captivity. So he's showing, I'm serious. I'm going to judge sin. So as we continue on here, in verse 6, for lo, I rise up or raise up the Chaldeans. Let's just stop there. Look what God says. I raise up. He has raised up. God Almighty has raised up a unholy, unrighteous nation to judge a righteous people. And that's confusing, Habakkuk. What? How? Why? Does the nation of Babylon continue on through thousands of years? No, God judges them as well. And we'll see that here from Scripture. Why? The Medes and Persians come on the scene after that, and that's how we have the book of Esther and Ezra and Nehemiah and Ezra. But it says here that I raise up. God raises up a nation. even to judge his own people. Do you believe God was involved in the raising up of the United States? I do. He brought those people together. He brought people from overseas to come and form a nation of religious liberty. That's why our nation was founded. And have we turned from that? Have we turned from God? He's going to judge us. He will rise up a nation to judge us. Are there few out there that like to judge us now on their own? Yes. But God says, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of thy land. There's not going to be a part of your land that's not touched by this nation. To possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They're going to take over the palaces, the kingdoms. They're going to take over your houses. They're going to take over your possessions. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment, their dignity shall proceed of themselves. They are a ruthless nation when it comes to warfare. They're not as bad as the Assyrians, but they are pretty bad. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. What a picture here. More fierce than the evening wolves. Have you ever seen a pack of wolves on maybe a documentary show or on the Nature Channel where the pack of wolves haven't eaten all day? And they're running together as a pack and they are looking for something to eat. And when they find that animal that's probably at its weakest point, they're going to attack that animal together. There is a group of fierce wolves. Is what these Chaldeans or these Babylonians are going to be like when they come upon the nation of Judah. They're going to be as fierce wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar, and they shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. Again, have you ever seen an eagle that dives down to get that prey that it's getting out of the water, or maybe that nice rainbow trout that's swimming, that's probably a 10-pounder? Are you fishermen? It's swooping down to get that fish out of the water. That's what the Babylonians are going to be like when they come into this nation. They have no regard for humanity. They are coming to destroy you. That's what they're doing to Judah. And God's pronounced it. They shall come all for violence. They're not coming for, ooh, let's sing all kumbaya together. Let's get in a circle and hold hands. That's not what they're doing. They're coming for violence. Are they doing it for themselves? God says, I raise up the Chaldeans. And he has prophesied that through Isaiah and through Jeremiah. Their faces shall sup as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. Now we know through the scriptures that they are going to take the nation of Judah into captivity. Daniel's already there, and his nephews are already in Babylon. From the first judgment, there was actually three judgments by God on the nation of Judah by the Babylonians. Daniel's already there. Jeremiah is going to be carried away, and he's actually going to be taken care of by the Babylonians. God is using this nation to judge their sins. And they're coming for utter destruction, and they're going to carry a captivity away. I believe Mordecai was in that last remnant that was took away. The uncle of Esther. Because Esther is a small child or born into captivity, we're not really completely sure. But she marries a Persian king in the book of Esther, which is a kingdom after the Babylon. So they're going to take a captivity away, and history tells us that they completely leveled Jerusalem. The temple here is Solomon's temple. One of the most beautiful structures ever to be built by man that God allowed. Was destroyed, completely destroyed by the Babylonians. They utter destroyed it in 586 BC, if I remember my history right. And they shall, let's see, we'll back up. In verse 10, and they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them, and they shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing that his power unto his God. Now this isn't God talking here. This isn't his. This his here is not God. This is the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. And his power unto his God. He has changed his mind that he shall pass over and offend, imputing that his power unto his God. Look what we have done. We've destroyed Jerusalem. We have taken their kings. We have taken the articles out of the holy temple and taken them back to Babylon. We have utterly destroyed this nation. We did this. They're getting prideful now. Where it says in verse 6, I raise up the Chaldeans. And they're going to be judged for their sin. In the latter part of this chapter. So we see this surprising judgment of Judah. It should not be a surprising judgment because God has told us this. There have been signs, there have been prophecies, but God cannot and will not allow sin to go unjudged. He cannot. But He gives an opportunity consistently for us to confess our sins and to get right with Him. Mercy. Long-suffering. Grace, that is God. Judah does not repent. Again, we continue with this story here that God has recorded for us in the book of Habakkuk. And it continues in verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting? Here is Habakkuk talking again. This is, okay, God, I got your answer. You answered my first question a little bit, but now I'm completely still confused. And he says, answer this question for me, God. And it begins again in verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting? O Lord my God, mine Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Okay, Lord, I understand that you have raised up this nation and they are for our correction and they are for our judgment. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. He must judge sin. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Let's stop there and we'll finish the last portion of the scripture in just a moment. Habakkuk says, I understand, God, you're going to raise up this nation. It's going to be for our correction and for our judgment. But his question is, why are you using the Babylonians? Why are you using this unholy nation? It says here in verse 13, wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? An unrighteous nation is going to judge by violence a righteous people. How are you allowing this to happen, God? Wow, we could look at so many verses. Look with me in Job 37. Hold your place. We're going to come back and finish this chapter. Job 37 is right before the book of Psalms. Job 37 and verse 23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. And in power and in judgment, I missed a portion. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. We've seen the sins of Judah. We've seen this surprising judgment of Judah that shouldn't really have been a surprise. And Habakkuk is still confused. Why, God? Why are you allowing this to happen? The sovereignty of God, we cannot fully comprehend. We just can't. He is God, and we are just a sinner saved by grace. Look with me in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 21. The Word of God says, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out as the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or I shall be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them by names, for the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. He is Almighty God. Do we understand his ways? No. Can we understand his ways? No. We are like grasshoppers, it says here. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. The sovereignty of God we cannot comprehend. Who are we to question God? He is excellent. He is power. He is justice. Look with me again in Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Habakkuk says, God, why are you going to use this unholy nation to judge a righteous people? God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I raise up the Chaldeans, and he will judge the Chaldeans. A couple more. Isaiah 46. I think you're getting the picture. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. I raise up the Chaldeans. Is he answering Habakkuk's question? I'm doing it because I'm God, and I'm sovereign, and I know what should be done. Don't look at the Chaldeans for anything but the correction and judgment of God for the nation of Judah. One last verse we'll look at is in Daniel. Prophet Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, Daniel's in Babylon. Daniel 4 verse 35. King Nebuchadnezzar is on the throne for Babylon. Daniel 4:35, and it says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? We are nothing to question God. Now, can we question God? Yes, he could give us an answer. But could it be to the place where, why are you going to use the Babylonians? Habakkuk, I have a purpose. I am God. I am sovereign. I know what I'm doing. The nation of Babylon does not stay on the scene very long in recorded history. If you look at empires that dominate the known world, they were not around very long. God judged them as well, as we'll see here back in Habakkuk. The last part of chapter 1, in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, and makest men as the fishes of the sea and as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. But therefore they rejoice and are glad. They've judged Judah. They've used it. God's used them as correction for their violence and for their iniquity. He says, they are like fish of the sea, and we're going to use our net and just drag it across the bottom. We're going to catch all those Judeans, and we're going to take them into captivity. But look what it continues to say in verse 16. Therefore, they, the Babylonians, they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? Verse 16, the Babylonians have come to the place where they are sacrificing to their nets. Look what we have done. God didn't do this. We're a powerful nation. We're going to continue on and we're going to take over everything that we can take over. We're going to sacrifice, as it says, burn incense under their drag and sacrifice under their net. They have become so prideful, we're indestructible. We are the nation that God has put on this earth to dominate the world. Not our God, but their God. And Habakkuk says, shall they therefore empty their net? Just dump it out and not spare continually to continue to slay the nations? As we'll continue on through chapter 2 next week, Habakkuk is going to stand back and wait for God's answer to this next question. But let me sum this up here for us. We've seen the sins of Judah. We have seen the surprising judgment of Judah, which should not have been a surprise. And we have seen the sovereignty of God, the sovereign God of Judah. How can we apply this to us today? Have we, as a nation, forsaken God? I believe so. Have we, as a nation, forgotten God? I believe so. Let's take it a step further. Have we, as a Christian body, forsaken God? Look at our churches today. Why do we have so many denominations? There's like 150 different types of Baptists. And we can't agree on the scriptures. Of all things, this is the Word of God, the King James Version. Amen. God has preserved this for the English-speaking people of the world. Have we as a nation forsaken God and forgotten God? Have we as a Christian body forsaken and forgotten God? Yes. Just in your own mind, how many times have you opened the Scriptures this week and read them, studied them, prayed to God, told someone else about God, invited some with you here to church today? As a Christian body, we are forsaken and forgotten God. We are too comfortable in our Christianity. How about one step further? Have we as an individual believer forsaken God? Have we allowed our wickedness and our backsliding to keep us from God's purpose for our lives? Have we as a Christian individual forgotten God and left Him out of our lives? Examine your hearts. For it says in Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 7, for I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Now we can't hear the voice of God today. But we have His voice right here. All we must do is open it. Also, another popular and very well-known verse is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, not my name, God's name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. You must do all the others before I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If the nation of Judah had done 2 Chronicles 7:14, God would not have judged them by the Babylonians. But they did not. They did not obey His voice. They did not turn from their wicked ways. The key to Habakkuk, the whole book, is in chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, God says, this isn't your problem. I'll give you the right to question me. But I'm sovereign, and I'm telling you that I'm doing this for my purpose. I must judge sin. I must not allow sin to continue to reign. All you must do is have faith in me. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you for the privilege of studying your word. I pray that you would help us as a Christian individual, Christian nation, a Christian body to not forsake you and not forget you. Judgment is coming to our present land if we do not heed 2 Chronicles 7:14. Help us, Lord, as a Christian, do our part to please you. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for this tiny book of Habakkuk. Help us as we continue to study it. In Jesus' name.